definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy hump day. Good morning and welcome onto the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by Happy State Bank. Alongside G. Paxton. I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White across the way taking care of us once again today. You too can hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, hopes, dreams, whatever you want to get in. Yates Flooring Center chat line wide open to you through the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Lots on the Yates Flooring Center chat line in our predecessor show. The morning drive, getting people fired up about high school girls basketball. Probably won't spend a lot of time on that today. I think they emptied the bucket for us, so we'll...
I think they did.
We'll spend a lot of time talking Red Raiders, Georgetown, college football playoff. Some bowl projections to toss out to you. Tiers of 12. I just completely skipped over it accidentally yesterday. So we've got our tiers of 12.
Tiers of 12!
You ready to do basketball tiers of 12 too?
I think so. Okay, I think it's time.
We'll do our final football tiers.
Do you see what happened to Baylor Bears?
I did. Man. They got walloped by old Marquette. That was a good start for the Big 12 Big East battle.
Barry kept... giving me updates, and I was like, man, really? And then finally I got to a point where after I was doing 100 things that I could sit down and watch a little bit of that second half. Yeah, they got rolled.
Yeah. So we'll get to our football final tiers of 12 and our basketball tiers of 12. The inaugural ones, at least for 2022-2023 season. So plenty to get into. Oh! And we have a tiny wheel spin.
Oh.
Someone gets to participate.
I was wondering this morning about you tampering with the tiny wheel.
Tampering?
Like after I poo-pooed the physical wheel that you brought in that was Megan's.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe you would get revenge by rigging the electronic tiny wheel.
I didn't. You
I know, but you can still program
it. You spent the freebie last time.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you got the freebie last time on the electric wheel. So, yeah, I have not done any. My wife is extremely intrigued by the touch every seat in Jones Stadium thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
She literally wants to go with you if you spend that. She said that. I don't know if she's... I hope she just wants to go make fun of you. Like, just, you know, heckle you, but I don't think that's the case. She just thinks it's really cool to
just
do.
Just get a bullhorn.
Yeah.
Hey, fatty!
Faster, man!
How long is it going to take?
I would love it.
Got a life!
So
I guess Perry fell on the playground yesterday and kind of just barely scraped his knee.
Uh-huh.
And
you've already heard the story?
Yeah. Megan's like, don't make me tell your dad that you needed a Band-Aid for this.
He told you! I didn't know.
Well, because I saw this. I did not know the story.
Uh-huh.
Until I saw him sit down with the Band-Aid on. We were waiting on something. We went out and tried to get a pizza and bring it home last night, and it was taking forever. So he takes off the Band-Aid. I go, no lie, you needed a Band-Aid for that?
Good.
He's like, Miss Woodman said you'd say the same thing.
Yeah. So he came up to her, asked, can I have a Band-Aid? She's like, well, for what? And he showed her the little scraped knee, and she's like, you're not even bleeding. She's like, don't make me text your dad and tell him that you're asking.
Megan,
for
feel
a
free to text me if you run into that kind of deal, because that was barely road rash.
Yeah, that's what. So he's like, I don't need one anymore. And then he got one from a different teacher. So he didn't even get
Sneaky.
One from her. And then he got one from a
gosh.
Different teacher later.
Son.
Oh, boy.
We can do better.
But. Yeah, she told me that story. Didn't know if he would.
Well, just because I called him
or not.
On it.
Yeah,
Lucas has the meats today. Thank you, Lucas.
Got the meats. Yeah, always.
That brightened my morning since I got a tiny wheel spin. I appreciate it.
I figured that you'd really appreciate it. So
brightened my morning, and I don't have to have a tiny wheel spin. So. Did anybody go to the Paul Wall concert? over the weekend.
I know.
But I mean, I'm asking anybody in the audience, did y'all go see Paul Wall? I saw like pictures that there were people out in the crowd. So obviously, tell us how that was. I'm curious because I know it seemed like there was almost no activity at the stadium until game time. Mm. Like the stadium was extremely empty until like a few minutes before kickoff. Then it started to fill up. And actually, I was actually impressed with the crowd. Outside of the student section, it was pretty full, pretty full. So people that had the tickets, had season tickets, showed up.
It all changed when you gave away those tickets.
That's right. People wanted to go.
Optimum Game Day Live.
Speaking of giving away tickets, got a pair for tonight. Not giving away yet, but we'll give away two Texas Tech and Georgetown this evening if you want to go see how large of a man Patrick Ewing is in person. Because I hope that it's not going to be that good of a game. That's the
last year 6-25, 0-19 in conference play. They already have 4 wins this year.
So rolling compared to last year.
Yeah, they lost every game from TCU on last year. So the last win they had last year was on December 15th against Howard. It was crazy. It's the game before Howard they beat Syracuse. Then they lost to TCU, Marquette, Butler, St. John's, Providence, Villanova, UConn, Butler, Seton Hall, wow. St. John's, Providence, DePaul, Creighton, yeah.
Wow. And they've lost to something called American this year.
This year, yeah.
Which apparently is in the same
American
town
Eagles, which are the little planes that American fly. It gives me flashbacks in a bad way.
They've gotten rid of all of those, right?
Those little American Eagles jets?
Right.
They have?
I think so.
I hope so.
Used to be American. Well, I mean, it was its own thing, and then American Airlines bought them, and then I think they've since gotten rid of those. I don't think those are in the fleet anymore.
But. Every time we went to Chicago, which was a bunch, it was on American Eagle.
Are those the 2 seats on one side, yeah. 1 seat on the other side? Like 3 in an entire row? Yep.
I remember flying, the American Eagle, and as a kid, they'd give you a little pin.
Oh, yeah.
A captain's pin.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. For when I was like,
we're gonna
5.
Be shaking the whole way there, so we'll give you a captain's pin to, to deal with it.
It was always nice going to Dallas because that was gonna be a big jet.
Yeah,
but if you're going to Chicago, little guy,
little hop, skip, and a jump on the small one. So yeah, plenty to get into.
But Garrett's popcorn was always waiting at O'Hare.
Garrett's popcorn. That's the stuff.
That's the stuff.
I think I've been to O'Hare once. I'll try to remember that next time I go.
Get the Chicago mix.
I have not done anything in Chicago, actually. One place is I've been through Illinois, but never been to Chicago. I don't have a ton of desire. A lot of crime in Chicago.
Yeah, but
I want to go to. Dude, there's I so much go to good. A Cubs game at Wrigley.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much good you can get into, and I mean, you don't have to go get shot. You can go.
I'm gonna do my best not to.
You can go do a lot of things. Okay.
All right, plenty to get into. Our Tiers of 12 coming your way at 9:45. Hack spins the wheel. 20 minutes from now, we got some headlines straight ahead on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be with you. You're listening to the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Alongside Jeff Haxton, I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White behind the glass once again taking care of us today. Keep hitting us up. So lots to get into over the next 2 hours. So take your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Hope streams all welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Someone asks on the chat line, Hax, have you guys just tuning in? Have you guys given out any Tech Bowl projections yet? I can zip through these real quick for you. This is what we have compiled for this week. And these will be the final ones before we get the actual bowl out on Sunday. Majority of these have you in the Cheez-It Bowl against North Carolina or Florida State. Those are the vast majority of the projections. Tech versus ESPN has Tech in Cheez-It Bowl, North Carolina, Florida State, and both of theirs. College Football News, Cheez-It, Florida State. USA Today is the one that varies the most. That is Tech versus UCLA in the Alamo Bowl. Be okay with that. I think I'm more attracted to the Cheez-It Bowl if that's your opponent in the Alamo Bowl. 24-7, Florida State, Cheez-It Bowl.
A good game with UCLA, though.
Yeah, yeah. Pro Football Network, Florida State, Cheez-It Bowl. CBS Sports, North Carolina, Cheez-It Bowl. Athlon, North Carolina, Cheez-It Bowl. Sporting
Mac
News.
Brown going up against him would be fun.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be all right. The Florida State part is you're going to be outnumbered in fans quite a bit, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Tallahassee, not too far from Orlando. So,
no.
So that would be that'd be the difficult part. It'd be essentially kind of playing a road game there. But it'd still be fun. Yahoo, Florida State, Cheez-It Bowl, Action Network, Florida State, Cheez-It Bowl. There's two that are outside of that, though. Sports Illustrated, I don't know what they're smoking. They've got Tech versus Air Force, and this was published yesterday, in the First Responder Bowl. I don't know how you fall to the 7th or 8th spot in the pecking order when you're... I think someone's just not doing their homework there. That's the guess. And then the other one has Tech falling one spot to the Texas Bowl. The only one I've seen for the Texas Bowl. Sporting News has Tech versus Florida in the Texas Bowl.
No, it's...
You don't want the Gators?
No, it'd be fine as far as playing the Gators. It's Cheez-It.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's... I would say I'm not writing it, I'm not chiseling it in stone, but I'd write it in ink. I'd say you're playing in the Cheez-It Bowl. 90%. That's where you are. Do we get surprises? Sometimes there can be other things, but that's why 90% of these projections have you playing in the Cheez-It Bowl. So expect that, but we'll find out officially on Sunday at like 4 o'clock, 5
after o'clock. It all shakes out. TCU ranked third in the college football playoff poll.
Yep. Not surprised there.
USC, if they beat Utah, they're going to go. There's a lot riding for USC.
Yeah.
If USC wins, they're going to go to the college football playoff and win a Heisman with Caleb Williams.
And that's kind of what it's going to boil down to. They got to win.
So I think a lot of people around here will be pulling for the Utes.
I guess so. I think I'd rather see USC in college football playoff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me that much. Just it's whatever. All right, basketball. Texas Tech, Georgetown. Tonight. Now, Texas Tech, when I looked 3 hours ago, 17-point favorite over the Hoyas.
I said 15, you said 17 yesterday.
And this is a team that, quite frankly, is they've been okay at times, but in general, not very good. Now, do they have any pieces that we should be watching out for?
Yeah, they got two guys that can really go.
Okay.
When Texas Tech practices and they're gearing up for an opponent that's got, green light all over the place, can shoot it when they come across half court, the Shireman or whatever from Creighton type guys like that, they're called jersey. They put a green jersey on them and they pay tons of extra attention to these guys. These guys tonight that'll have that designation are Primo Spears. He averages 17. And Jay Heath, he averages 15. Okay. But Jay Heath had 25 points last time out and was 5 for 6 from three-point range.
Is Heath a transfer?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that deep into the prep yet. That comes later on today. I just have all their numbers listed here on the old sheet.
Yeah.
That they're without Brandon Murray, I think. Now, he only played 5 games, but he was averaging 15.4. He did not play against UMBC. Those guys, along with the, they got some names now.
Sure.
Quduss, and then the last name is Whah.
What?
Waha. Oh no, not Wahab. There's a B there. He's averaging 12.6. So they, from what I can tell, and listening to practice yesterday, listening to Mark Adams. They're going to come out of the tunnel there, and they're going to look like an NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
They got... I mean,
similar to Louisville.
Well, with that Georgetown blue and gray, I mean, they're just... It's going to be like, oh, my, you know, look at these guys. But they are, let's just say, the opposite of disciplined. And if you defend them for more than 10 seconds, they're going to start throwing up a lot of desperation shots.
So bad shots, probably bad passes,
Yeah.
Running people over.
Yeah.
Charges. So
although you currently average more turnovers than they do, but and then on the other end don't want to defend. But size, athleticism, all airport team with two or three guys that can really play. Now there's not much after that, but
Heath, by the way, Arizona State transfer.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Hadn't got to that
which
point.
They've actually I think the majority of their better players are transfers because they were so bad last year. Ewing hit the portal really hard in the offseason. Still hadn't made a massive difference, but I guess they've won four games this year, won six total last year.
Kerwin Walton looked a little better in practice yesterday, so I'm hit a three. I hope that'll translate into some better things for him. Demarion Williams didn't even play against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Coach Adams, I said, hey, and he'll talk about this in our pregame show today. I was like, you know, I didn't really know how to phrase it since I'm talking about two guys that are kind of in the same place. But, you know, where are Demarion Williams and Kerwin Walton at in their development? And
yeah,
he said, still learning, but in a lot of ways, we're just as surprised as you are that you had to ask that question.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so.
I got to talk to Robert Jennings yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool kid, and he'll be on with us today again in our pregame show. He didn't pick basketball back up. Said he left it behind at about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't pick it back up till he was a junior.
Really? That's crazy to be a Division I, a high Division I basketball player.
Four-star homeschool.
That's crazy.
It's exciting because you standing there, this is a mountain of a man. He's going to be good. And he's just in his infancy, really. Yeah.
By the way, team full of transfers. Wahab from Maryland. Two guys from LSU. Not surprising. They transferred the whole team out. UConn. Arizona State. Murray. And then a cock.
Can't wait for that one.
He was actually a Tech recruit at one point. But he's from UConn. It's the end of the bench. Highs and lows from Hacks next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
On hour number three, it is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you by Happy State Bank. And now on television, Fox 34 News Now. Oh, I was wrong. Tunisia's out. To my right, that's Jeff Haxton. I'm Choice Woodman. Jackson Frazier joins us now. What up, Jackson?
Nothing much. I have a movie for Hacks for his bad movies.
Oh, okay. I need to read a couple of those, but yeah.
Have you heard of a movie called The Rubber?
The Rubber?
And it's about a car tire.
Oh, okay. I thought it might have been about something else.
Yeah. It's about a car tire that goes on a murderous rampage across California.
Oh, my gosh. So is this like Sharknado territory?
Esque. It's okay. Not. I watched it on Netflix, but it's not even on that anymore. You can just watch it for free on YouTube now, the whole movie.
Okay. The Rubber. It is noted. Someone said it's not on Netflix, but can be watched for free on Tubi. But The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot is an awful movie. Hacks, I really think in my adult life that's the worst one I've ever seen. That one. So may push for you to see that one. Bobby Hot Dog said earlier, since it's the holiday season, I think you guys should add the Buddy Spaghetti back to the wheel. All right. Next week, it's added.
I'm not doing that.
You're not doing it? It's just candy
not
and
doing
noodles
it.
For the most part. Syrups. Okay. So you brought this to my attention a little bit ago. Footballscoop.com. Zach Barnett put out this article. It says Texas Tech's overtime comeback versus Oklahoma was the most improbable win of the season. He said he's tracked 1,733 games and counting, and the Red Raiders were the only team to lose in every major metric but win the game anyway. This is crazy when you look at some of this. Those 1,733 games have taught us that some correlate more than others. A halftime lead puts you on the path to victory about 80% of the time. Tech didn't have that, though they were close. While outpassing your opponent is closer to a coin flip, 60% of the time. Entering Saturday, teams that won all five categories, the quinfecta, as they call it, were 274-0. And the vast majority of those 274 victories were not close. The average quinfecta margin was around 30 points per game until Saturday night. So the quinfecta includes several different categories. Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to sum this up. But Texas Tech trailed 14-0 after one quarter and 24-23 at the half. Outrushed 210-163. Outpassed 462-436. Lost the turnover margin 2-1. Yet they won the game anyway. The first of 285 teams in a similar situation to do so over the last season and last season. What's more, in this case, Texas Tech losing the box score in the aggregate, but winning on a down-to-down basis. OU averaged 4.7 yards per carry to Tech's 3.6. OU averaged 11 yards on its 42 passes. Tech averaged 8.5 on its 51 passes. And Tech even lost the points off turnovers, 10-7. Holy cow. When you look at these stats from this game, Tech lost about every category. So I guess, Hacks, this is one of the most improbable wins. And if you're looking for another, you know, feather to put in the cap of, hey, this team finds a way to get it done under Joey McGuire, this is a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's unbelievable just to look at it and, again, go through all the numbers. And I'm a numbers junkie to some extent, not that extent. But you're looking at categories that you have to win football games. Again, if you lose it, if you have a ton more penalties than the other team, you're in trouble. If you get beaten the turnover margin, you're in trouble. And all these things combined to be, in 2 years, perfection, except for one, and it was last Saturday.
Wow. Unbelievable to see that. The entire article, it goes into a little bit more depth if you'd like to see. So see it, you can do so at footballscoop.com, or it's on Zach Barnett's Twitter. So pretty crazy stuff, stuff that doesn't really happen. And again, Joey McGuire company finding a way to do it in year one. Now, you could flip that over and say, man, you're living dangerous playing in all these close games. But you've been living dangerous for a long time. It's not that Texas Tech has been blown out for a decade. It's not that you've lost 30-point games over and over. It's the heartache that comes with losing so many of these one-score games that you've done.
Well, think about what you had to do to beat Oklahoma and Texas in the same season for the first time ever. You had to go for it on fourth down.
6-for-6 in that game against Texas.
A ton.
Yeah.
And early and late and all kinds of different circumstances. You know, if you play, I guess, you know, like regular football, not with the analytics, you don't win that game against Texas.
You don't.
But it works out. You get all the fourth downs, you make the plays, you beat them, and then this thing's, you know, again, one of the more improbable victories when it comes to stats. And I guess it kind of boils down to what we've said several times. Texas Tech teams in the past don't win those games.
It's as simple as that. You don't.
You can take those two. You can take those two off the board in almost every season going all the way back to 2009. Just take them off the board.
Which is why you'd be 5-7 this year if you
would. You'd be 5-7 and
or worse.
Doing exit interviews. Yeah. Instead, you're fourth in the Big 12 with a winning record. And this is it's a darn good league. It just is.
It sure is.
Crazy. And depending on when you played Oklahoma State, you know, it's even tougher because Texas Tech played Oklahoma State when they were good. When they were, you know, deadbeats. So
wild article there. Wild and good stuff by Zach Barnett of footballscoop.com. Real quick, the latest in the coaching carousel. We're kind of bringing you this every day. Not really much to update the news from Auburn became official with Hugh Freeze replacing Brian Harsin. So Liberty now the latest opening, and one more closed. Brent Key at Georgia Tech. You probably don't know his name because he was the interim guy.
Trent Dilfer rumored to be UAB.
Yeah, that
and,
one's gonna look
Kyron
like
Drones is in the transfer portal. 3 years left of eligibility. He was the
Baylor
quarterback backup. So Baylor's seen quite a bit of turnover in that quarterback position when it comes to the transfer portal.
Baylor's hanging a hat on Blake Shapen.
And Drones was there for 2 years.
I'll tell you, Blake Shapen looked like an NFL guy when he was in Lubbock. But there's been a lot of games this year where he didn't look like that. And down the stretch, man, he looked pretty timid and contributed to why they lost some of those games down the stretch. So they're really they're going in on Shapen, though, losing some more quarterbacks out of that room. We'll continue with a few headlines coming up in a moment. Want to get back to some basketball. Hacks will look towards Georgetown for us. And I want to talk some college football playoff as well. Ask the Benchwarmers towards the end of the hour. Get your questions in now. Got a few in already. It's the end of the Bench on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrilled to be part of your Wednesday. It is the End of the Bench. Got about 30 minutes left with you here on 100.7 The Score. Choice Woodman with Senior Haxton. Keep hitting us up. Lots of questions already in, so get yours in if you want it read. Yates Flooring Center chat line. Ask the Benchwarmers 15 minutes away from now. Hax, I'm a little nervous. Not for tonight's game. Though Panhandle Raider chimed in and said he doesn't have a good feeling about tonight's game. Can't quite put his finger on why. Can't pin it down is what he said. But hope he's wrong. I think not a good feeling about tonight's game could be like a 10-point win. You could feel kind of bad about it if it gets murky and ugly and they hang around for a while.
Yeah.
Could be one of those. By the end of this game, you should, in my opinion, win it by 20 points.
Yeah. I have no worries about tonight.
Yeah, I don't really either.
Just for the sheer fact that it's discipline versus the opposite of that.
No, my nervousness is in what I read yesterday and then what Jackson brought to my attention a little bit ago.
Something about robots?
The robots are going to kill us all.
Oh, that's a given, but when?
Well, maybe sooner than we think. Or maybe we should just, again, carve out California and drop them in the ocean. That would help a lot of problems. But, so, Jackson, tell everybody what you told me during the break.
That San Francisco has announced that they are releasing robot policemen for emergency situations that can be controlled by real policemen back at the station, but these robots are allowed to kill people.
Yes, they're allowed to use deadly force. Of all places, San Francisco, of course. So there's an 8-3 vote. I'm reading this from AP News. This is a very real story. 8-3 vote. Majority agreeing to grant police the option despite strong objections to civil liberties, blah, blah, blah.
They won't have robots, a gender, so they'll fit right in.
Of course.
And then they can
the robots want a gender.
They can just cap you. Opposite.
Oh, my goodness. So, not just that. Hacks,
sounds like Total Recall.
Did you ever see iRobot?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it started? The robots took over?
They started as like
police officers
and just enforcers. Like maids and helpers.
And then they take over an iRobot. Yeah. Also, I saw this yesterday. MIT researchers creating robots that will give birth to other robots.
Oh, God. It's all over.
They're taking over. Oh, robots are going to end the world. It's all right. I'm ready for it. Bring it on.
See how you robots do out here in West Texas.
Take it.
We'll take down you robots.
Actually, I'm a little more scared of the California robots than the people. A little tougher. So the college football playoff rankings were released. I didn't know they were going to do this the week of championship week. Didn't know they were actually going to do one last night until I saw it come out. The rankings reflect what most people thought. Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU 3, and USC 4. Ohio State was 5th and Bama 6th on the outside looking in. Now, TCU, if I remember correctly, they were in the college football playoff in the final rankings when they came out in 2016, and then they got leapfrogged because of a crazy game by Ohio State where they won 59-0 in the conference championship game. That was when the Big 12 didn't have a championship, and really that's why the Big 12 added a championship game, because that 13th data point. Remember that?
Okay.
Phrase that tells. Anyway, I don't think there's a scenario where TCU wins and they wouldn't be in, so that's pretty safe at this point. But here, Hax, as I like to outline, here's the nice things we could have. Your 12-team playoff.
Oh, stop it. Just stop.
Today. Why not?
Stop.
Washington would play Ohio State.
Oh, here we go. You do this all the time.
Because I want one.
Yeah,
give
but
it
it's
to
not,
me.
It's not here. It's not here yet.
You don't like to.
Stop with the fantasy world stuff, man.
People like fantasy worlds. But look online. There's a lot of people that live in their fantasy worlds. Who's going to lose this weekend? Or do we see those four teams get through?
I believe more and more that if TCU loses, they are out.
I think you're right.
That the committee will not allow a team from the Big 12 that lost its final game to have the power over the other teams that are lurking there with the big logos. So, TCU needs to pour everything they've got and more and beating K-State, because you know K-State's going to go in there and love to play the spoiler role. I really think they're going to get jumped if they don't get a victory Saturday.
If you... The irony of all that, Axe, is...
If it was OU or Texas, they would be in with a loss?
No, I don't think that's that wrong. That's just fact at this point. The irony I'm talking about is going back to that 2016 season where TCU was left out for not playing the 13th game. Ohio State, in this scenario, would be rewarded for not playing the 13th game. They're not playing in the Big Ten Championship.
Sure, yeah.
There's, so Ohio State,
you know,
would
there's
get the
different
reward
rules.
For, it is completely different rules. If you are Oklahoma, Texas, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, basically any SEC team gets the treatment. But if you're a blue blood, USC gets this treatment. They do. Because I don't know that Oregon sitting with one loss. Well, maybe they've got enough of a brand, but I don't know that UCLA sitting with one loss would be in that fourth spot right now. Not sure of it. It's possible. Those are some fringe brand type of programs. But USC gets the blue blood treatment. So I think you're completely right. I would be very surprised. Maybe TCU loses on a last-second field goal.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about TCU started slow.
they were just making excuses for why TCU wouldn't be.
Yeah, making up all kinds of things just to, you know, knock them down.
Right. I have little doubt in my mind that if Alabama was a one-loss team right now, they might be ahead of TCU. They would definitely be ahead of USC.
They'd be ahead of TCU. If they had one.
The one loss, but since Bama's lost two games, since Tennessee's lost two games, they've almost forced the hand of the committee. Like, wow, well, I can't play one, too. It's like, what are you guys doing? We need more SEC teams in.
Which one loss, I think, just throws that door open. I really do.
T-Money 806 says, if you're a conspiracy guy, Big 12 refs will be told to protect TCU. I wasn't a conspiracy guy on that front until I watched that
Tim Donahue.
Documentary.
That didn't affect any results.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, just the other parts that were not related to the gambling of, hey, we were told, protect these guys, protect this team, protect. It's like, this is better for your job to protect these certain people. I don't know if those exact conversations, I don't think the direct overseers of the officials tell them that, but there's probably people whispering in their ear. They're like, hey, remember, this is best for the league.
Everybody gets a check.
This is better for the league. So we got a close
and
game.
And they can't keep them out.
Yep.
If they win.
Get these bonuses.
And you know they're going to kick them out if they lose.
I don't actually think that goes on. In NBA, I do think it goes on. Other leagues, probably not so much. But who knows? Troy says, not a big fan of Tech's OC with the super fast pace. Seems like we had more penalties trying to run it. Like to see it slowed down and get everyone on the same page. I'd like to see the numbers this year on success of the offense when running tempo versus not, because I felt like you were more successful offense when running tempo this year. You feel the same way? In terms of in terms of drives that ended in touchdowns. I think you ended up with more touchdowns when running tempo than when you didn't.
Probably.
Again, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'd like to see them. I don't think it's one where Tech wants to run tempo all the time. And you were not a big-time penalized team this year. Now, you had the last couple of weeks, or I guess the last week against OU, you had a lot more than your average. You had 9 against OU, which was and 4 false starts, which was against the grain for what this season has been. But most of the year, Tech has been a pretty clean football team. So I don't know why your offensive line was so jumpy on Saturday, but you overcame it. Beat the Sooners. Against all odds, according to Zach Barnett.
All odds.
Yeah, everything was against you.
280 some odd odds.
Quinfecta. Still able to get it going.
And that's not Ewers and his Aston Martin.
It's crazy. All right, get your questions in. Several in already. And we'll get some Ask the Benchwarmers going for you next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
A whole slew of questions in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Time for Ask the Benchwarmers. Still a little room for yours if you got any. Get them in. Ask the Benchwarmers on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. He is Jeff Haxton. And Choice Woodman, Jackson Frazier across the way. We are the Benchwarmers. Questions for any and all of us are welcome. Start with this one. I got to start with this one, Hax, because someone DM'd me. Trevor DM'd me at 1:14 a.m. with a question. Said he's got a question for us. So we're going to start with this one.
Okay.
He said, if you could get 2 grad transfers back right now, or just any guys that have left the program, graduates included, and if you could have seen another for another year, sorry, the question's a weird word, or even 2, who are they? So basically, if you could add 2 players to this team from recent years, for Tech basketball, who are you going with?
Bryson Williams, 1.
He said Bryson was one of his.
Bryson takes care of so many things.
A lot. Bryson's probably number 1. I just think he would glue a lot together.
He's number 1. And then,
man, if you could have him one more year. Why don't we petition?
I'm going Davide Moretti.
I still got some faith you can shoot on this team.
I'm thinking about Davion Harmon playing off of Davide.
Being able to drive and kick.
Because I'm watching. Let me look at this. Okay. This is really interesting to me when it comes to Davion Harmon. Okay. Davion this year is 3 for 14 from 3-point range. Okay.
Okay.
That's a 21% clip. He has 122 career threes. And through those 122 career threes, that's 34% shooting from deep.
Okay.
So that's 13 percentage points down. The volume is down because Pop Isaacs has shot 24 three-pointers. Kevin O'Banner shot 16 three-pointers. And again, Davion's only taken 14 and only hit 3. So I'm watching him practice yesterday. He's playing his tail off, and he's driving, and there's just there's not much to penetrate and pitch to, because you know what? Kevin O'Banner's having to play a post on this team.
Yeah.
A four or a five. So you're not going to penetrate and pitch to a guy who's down there trying to play in the interior. Pop Isaac's floating around there and can do some things. You can penetrate and pitch to him. But you're supposed to be able to penetrate and pitch to Kerwin Walton, MIA. Damarian Williams,
sure.
MIA, didn't play last game. So those would be my choices. I'm sticking with it.
Okay. I think I would add, and this is just, you know, personal, I would add the Bryson Williams and probably a Matt Mooney type of guard that could do – he could shoot,
well, I think,
but he could also penetrate as well.
I think Mooney and Davion would kind of cancel similar. Each other out.
I think so, but I think they could also – I think there would be a compliment factor
true,
there.
True two.
Okay.
I mean, there's all kinds of good answers you could give.
We
skipped over Jarrett Culver.
Jarrett Culver would be nice on this team. Yeah, I'm not sure I wouldn't like Jarrett Culver.
You know, skipped over Zaire. And
Jarrett Culver.
You can't
really
think
good.
Of Zaire
in the one season you had.
Well, no, you can't think of him as a professional.
Yeah,
because the guy almost died from an allergic reaction and hasn't been the same since.
Never got to see it. Yeah,
just never got to see it.
Yep.
But what we saw here was special.
So thanks for the question at 1 a.m., Trevor.
Good thinking at 1 a.m. I was up.
Probably like Hax, just can't sleep. Does Texas Tech cover the 17 tonight?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes as well. I lean towards yes. You're just so good at home. So good at home.
Watch how they've been practicing. This has got to be a dream time for Mark Adams, especially if you can get past tonight with a good performance.
Yeah.
Because you go, what? Back from Maui,
mm-hmm.
It's plenty of days to get rested and get ready.
Yep.
So after tonight,
full week,
another week,
mm-hmm.
And then like
8 days.
6 more days.
I think there's a 6 day and an 8 day stretch in there in December. So yeah, lots of practice.
They got to get a lot better during this time.
Lots of practice.
And still, Big Maple.
Yeah.
Eating snacks on the sideline with his cast on.
This was from earlier in the show. Lindell Jeff says, did we miss the boat on Sonny Dykes? Did we have the talent to go 12-0? If TCU had so much talent, Patterson was at least recruiting well. Look, I think you're going to see a steep drop-off with TCU next year. And steep meaning going from 12-0 to like 8-4 maybe, 7-5, because they are going to lose 20... I can't remember. Is it 28 seniors? They have a massive amount of seniors on their team. Now, some of them will have eligibility again, but they're going to lose a lot of players. So watch for a pretty steep drop-off for TCU next year. I don't know if it's just been the perfect storm, because it feels like it for TCU. I mean, you look at some of the games they've won. So I'm not ready to say that Sonny Dykes in the long term is going to be better than Joey McGuire. I don't think you can. This year, 100%, he's been better than Joey McGuire. But in the long run, I don't know that that's going to be the case. Maybe he will, but maybe he won't.
Well, if you're comparing him, there's been nobody that's been better than Sonny Dykes.
No, he's been the best coach in the Big 12.
I'm talking about in the country.
Okay, yeah.
If you can, in year one, get TCU to the college football playoff with an undefeated record in a Big 12 championship.
Sure.
But long run, let's wait and see. These things take twists and turns.
Sure,
some take longer to get going. Some never get going.
I mean, like you talked about yesterday, quarterback matters so much. Like, there's a lot that factors in. Look at some of the coaches that had a 12-0 season, like a Gene Chizik, and then went
couldn't coach a lick
flat.
in other years.
So I'm not saying that's going to be the
Ed Orgeron,
but yeah, there's been coaches that they just have.
As soon as Burrow left,
yeah,
you know, some of these. I mean, LSU's
for
just
sure
an NFL factory, and sometimes they're more, sometimes they're less. When they're less, you're just not as good a coach.
Bullfighter, Benchwarmers says, if you were told to break a major bone in your body and all of the big sports would win a national championship, would you do it? And which bone would it be? Not a finger, pinky, toe. It's got to be like a shin or a neck bone. Oh, my gosh.
This is lunacy.
That's crazy, Bullfighter. You break bones for a living. I guess it's a side gig, but I'd break a leg for all three of them. Yeah. What's a major bone? I'll break my arm. All right, let's say that. Take that. Take my ulna. No, maybe, no, not the ulna. The radius. I'm just going to the radius. For all three national championships, shoot, yeah.
Negatory.
I'll wear a cast around. Bench warmers, start bench cut. Funyuns, Cheetos, Doritos.
Start Cheetos, bench Doritos, bye-bye Funyuns.
Out on the Funyuns?
See ya.
Oh, man. Funyuns, easy
starter. I haven't had Funyuns in years.
Easy starter on the Funyuns.
Starter? Over Cheetos?
Now, Cheetos, do I get the different varieties?
No, you get the crunchy.
I like the puffs. Then fine. Start Funyuns, bench Doritos, cut the Cheetos. The Cheeto fingers, I mean, come on, man.
Give me Hax's list. I want Hax's
When's the last... Have you had Funyuns in a while? They're so good.
I mean, somewhat recently, but not as recently as the other two.
Choice, do you have some handcuffs on this year with the ref talk since you're part of the game radio crew? I'm not really part of... I don't think they're going to suspend a guy, the engineer that's talking on his sports talk radio show about officials. No handcuffs. No handcuffs at all. Not that I've been told about. I guess we could find out. How far can I push it? Bench warmers, who is your favorite college football blue blood? I don't think I have a favorite. I have ones that I hate less than the others.
Yeah. I've always kind of liked Florida State.
Are they a true blue blood?
Not really, but
they're close.
They've
won
really
a championship
close.
In recent years, so yeah. I would go probably Clemson. I mean that, and they're a new blue blood, but that's one I hate less than others. I don't have that much disdain for Michigan.
Maybe yeah, me either.
I mean, it's just I prefer them over Ohio State.
Me too.
Last one here. So will expanding the playoffs help, or just allow the committee to get in more blue bloods? You're going to see more blue bloods. But if you have automatic bids, that's the part that will help. Freaking Chris Need. He has his hand.
An hour's not long enough for him, so he's got to get in here and mess with us.
For Jeff Haxton and Jackson Frazier, I'm Choice Woodman. You've been tuned in to the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score. You'll hear Sneed coming up next.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.